Good morning, church. My name is Pietri Voges. I am an elder of the church and as well as a worship leader. And it's my privilege to share what God has been burning with in my heart. I think at least for the past 5 or 6 years. I have a wife whose name is Karin, and we've got 3 children. And we've been called to serve and love this community, and the past 10 years have been the greatest learning experience, but also joy to partake in God's body that He's building, and that He is the main worker and we are the ones who participate with the main builder. To those who don't know me, I invite you to join in my story that God is the author of. I really trust that God will unlock a key in all of our hearts to bring a refreshing as we speak about worship, as we speak about reverence, as we declare who this glorious God is that allows us to know Him. So I invite you to join me, and thank you for taking time. I'm going to open for us in prayer, and then I will start sharing. Thank you, Lord, that You are the Spirit of life, that You give us the Spirit of life, that You did not leave us as orphans. No, God, we do not have to defend ourselves. We do not have to carry the burdens that so often the world tells us that we should be able to carry and that we must be able to fulfill certain criteria. No, You said, I am Your Father. I will send You My Son to show you how to love Me and what My heart desires for You, Lord. So Lord, this morning, this evening, when Your people look at this, Lord, I pray, God, that You will stir in us a refreshing, stir the waters, that we might recognize Jesus as the fountainhead and we as the ones that drink and eat from His everlasting life. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that we can invite You in, that this past 4 weeks will be about You, where we focus on You. Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Help us see. Refresh us. Take away the things that distract us, that we might be open to receive from You, that we might, our hearts might be porous for Your words to enter in, that light enter in and darkness be dispelled. Amen. In the previous message, Retief shared about the Spirit of life, and in that story Jesus is showing us how to love beyond cultural and spiritual boundaries. As He lovingly led the discussion with the woman at the well, we see that there's a moment where she receives the Spirit of life, where that which was dead has become alive, and how it overflowed not just into her life, but she, when she entered the village again, the whole city, or the whole village, was changed by the life that flowed from her. But before that moment, Jesus shared with her how worship is going to change in the new dispensation. And I want us to read from John 4, verse 21 to 24. Woman, Jesus replied, believe Me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet the time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. And Retief last week touched on the different meanings of life. And we see that whilst this woman was still focused on the bios and the siche, Christ addresses worship. The very worship that now that we will now enter into by the Spirit of life that she is about to receive. He's setting the ground for the new worship. And the Father is not seeking worshippers. He's seeking a specific type of worship. And Jesus is making it clear that true worshippers is not born, nor are they found somewhere, but it comes from something. Worship is no longer something that we put on or we ascribe to. No, worship comes from within. The very theme of our church, the inside out, is we cannot worship God by singing a song if the song has not resonated in your heart. It will not go to God. And the means now by which we worship is no longer a song that we sing or a gesture of bowing. No, it flows from the heart. The song, the action is permeated by the Spirit. And in the new dispensation, where we have received the arabon, the seal, the thing that is the down payment of Christ, we are no longer constrained by the law, but we are restrained by the Spirit. Constrained means something that comes from outside. Restrained is that which the Spirit directs and guides in alignment with the truth. And I want us to rephrase John 4 verse 24, where it says, God is spirit and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. And I want us to rephrase it by giving it more context. God is a spiritual being, and it is necessary for those who bow down in adoration to do it by the divinely bestowed Spirit and the divine truth revealed to man. Let's just rest on that again. God is a spiritual being, and it's necessary for those who bow down in adoration to do it by the divinely bestowed Spirit and the divine truth revealed to man. For a long time, whilst I was a worship leader, I was stuck on a formula. I so desperately wanted to bring God something that I only looked at what I can bring, not where it comes from. I so desperately wanted to please him that I thought the intentions of my heart can be pushed aside if I fulfill the formula of singing, the formula of getting the church to sing together. And I would like to share this journey with you. And I trust that God will unlock a greater freedom and reverence in us as we visit my spiritual memorial stones regarding worship. In Romans 8 verse 15, God says, "The spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you have received brought about your adoption to sonship." In 2010, when the church started, there was a need for a band, but there was no band, and we were a very small group. But I really wanted to please my father, and I knew I could play some guitar, and therefore I said, yes, God, use me. And my wife inadvertently also said yes by the fact that she married me, and we had Niku and Simunai Sleebush. The four of us, not knowing how to lead worship, not knowing how to make a band function. Where's the life here, Lord? It was very humble beginnings, but there was that deep desire of a son to please his father. And so often I wanted to do what was right without connecting with the God to whom I'm doing it. I wanted to tick that box so that I get a yes from the Father, but never quite investigating my heart. I wanted to bring Him something of worth, but the value was found in effort, in practice, in commitment, and not knowing Him. And I consistently compared myself to the band in Stellenbosch, that is our HQ, and we never measured up. I was a slave. I was the eldest son, always looking in from the outside and never entering the house that God invited me to. But only once I realized that I was accepted by God and acceptable, was I able to be a son. I was free to make mistakes. I was free to rejoice in Him, because I no longer had to produce something. I was accepted by Him. And only once I experienced that freedom that came from the spirit of adoption, the spirit that says, "You are mine. I have chosen you, Pietri," was I free to worship Him. Was I free to lead worship in brokenness, not in perfection, not guided by religion, but free. And I realized just through that process of adoption that worship flows from revelation, not imitation. I couldn't make up worship. It is a well that overflows as I recognized a loving Father, not a distant one, not a one with rules, but a one who says, "Come to me. I will give you life. I will show you. I will lead you. My spirit will lead you, Pietri. You don't have to follow the right procedure. Follow my spirit of life." And we can learn a lot about sonship from David. In 1 Samuel 21 verse 6, David and his men were very hungry, and the only bread that was available was the showbread. But the showbread was not meant for anybody else except the priests. And yet David had the freedom to ask. Imagine that. That which is prohibited, that that normally rules would guide you not enter, David had the freedom to ask God, can I have of this? I have a need. And God did not judge his son. In fact, he supplied in his son's need. Jesus addresses this very breaking of the law with the Pharisees. And he says to them, God desires mercy, not sacrifice. God is a loving father, not a restrictive one based upon your actions. He invites you in. He is the one who runs toward the repentant son. He is the one who invites the angry son in. He is the one who sends his own son to die for us, that those who are far off can enter into the house. The spirit of sonship exposes the yoke of slavery and establishes in us a confidence of a prince and a princess. You are a prince and a princess. Rejoice in it. You are free. You are free because our Father has set us free by his adoption. The second gift I'm most thankful for the Holy Spirit, is the spirit of revelation. In Ephesians 1 verse 17, we see Paul saying, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you might know him better. We've been given a gift that will allow us to see the Father more clearly, to bring more light so that darkness can flee, to bring more understanding that the freedom can be established. The word revelation is derived from reveal, to show, to expose, to unveil, to open the eyes of our understanding, that we might know him. That place of intimacy where we can see God. I'm able to love my wife much better now than I was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I told my wife, you are joining the band. I don't think I will do that today. I would speak to her, consider her, ask her, because I've known her. I've come to realize what pleases her. And that's the freedom that the spirit of revelation has for you. The spirit of revelation convicted me as a worship leader of my love for those who served with me. Having a servant heart sometimes meant the completion of the service was more important than the way in which it was done. The spirit of revelation showed me that worship is a ministry of love with an audience of one. That those who worship with me and those who we are leading are the same people. In love, we respond to the loving Father. And if I don't love my fellow worshippers, how could I sing of God's love? If I'm not interceding for this church that God has given me the responsibility to lead, how can I trust that there will be deep, intimate connection? And as I started realizing just the hardness in my heart, I recognized that the Spirit needed to show me how to pray, how to change, not by myself, but how to be transformed. And I started praying for the people who served with me. And as I started praying and thanking God for each one, God was faithful to show me how important they are, how valuable they are, what He has called them for, and how much I need them, and that they need me. And God allowed me to speak into their lives, opening my heart to them, and in the same time opening their hearts to me. That my love is not just words, but a deep compassion and consideration for what God has done and who they are. He gave me a heart of flesh for a heart that was restricted by rules, that enjoyed the rules so much because it was just easier. It's just simpler if we all follow the rules. And yet there was no freedom. And yet nobody knew I loved them because we did the right thing. But as I reached out to these fellow worshippers that God gave me, I could love them by the Spirit of Revelation. I could speak over them. I could rejoice in them. Demi, I need you. I need your zealous nature, that compassion, or that emotional thing. And I need Jock, who says we need to do this in time, that precision. Karen, that deep felt compassion for God's heart. I need to hear it. I need to be exposed with Chris, sharing a story of your life, just making us all realize our life and worship is the same thing. It's not separate from one another. We rejoice together. We suffer not alone. David knew God in a way that changed worship for the Israelites forever. When he recaptured the stolen ark, he didn't return it to Moses' tabernacle. No, he brought it to Mount Zion in Jerusalem, in the own tent that he pitched for God's glory to dwell. And instead of having the ark in the holies of holies, with only the high priest that can enter, he removed the veil. And now all priests were ministering to God. 24/7 there were sacrifices of worship, sacrifices of praise, sacrifices of intercession. Even though in the tabernacle of Moses, the sacrifices were going on. That is the distinction of religion versus life. Even though the glory of God was no longer in the tabernacle of Moses, the priest still made daily sacrifices. But God was not there. And David brought him in the midst of the people, where there was worship daily, unstopping, continuous praise, worship to this Almighty God. His glory in the midst of His people being sung. The Spirit of Revelation brought a freedom that gave expression to worship not seen before. We read in the Psalms and in other books that worship changed now to singing, shouting, lifting of hands, playing of instruments, clapping of hands, and standing. A freedom that was not there prior to David's moment where he changed worship. Do you want such freedom? Where you're no longer bound by religion or by a song, but in your own brokenness, you can turn to a perfect God and says, even though I'm not perfect, I can worship you through the spirit of sonship and revelation that I'm allowed to come to you, that I'm allowed to ask you, that I'm allowed to know you, that you allow light to enter in the darkness and help me see you more clearly. Your Father is available 24/7. But we need to be with Him. We need to eat of the living bread. We need to drink from the fountainhead. And from that place of receiving, of knowing, of intimacy, we'll be able to love God the way He desires us to love Him and worship Him. The Spirit of Christ will show you and teach you. The very Spirit that was unwilling. God reminded me earlier today that I was like a son in the foster care system. Even though I was adopted, I was still in the rules of the foster care, not allowing myself to be shaped by His love. But it's the love of the Father that shapes us, that draws us near. Worship flows from revelation, not imitation. Don't rely on second-hand revelation. Nobody else can tell you how good God is. Nobody else can tell you what they've tasted and seen, because it's there for you. God has given you these senses to receive from Him. We must ask the Spirit to show us, to open our eyes, that we might see, that we might behold the beauty of His splendor. I'm going to pray for us. Thank you, God, that you are so kind to me, to us, Lord. That you invite us in, Lord, even though we are afar off, Lord. Even though we might smell, Lord, like pig dung, Lord. You run to us. You invite us in and say, eat with me, dine with me. Look at what I've prepared for you. God, I pray, Lord, for worship not to be founded on imitation, Lord, not to be relied upon a set from somebody else, Lord. But God, that our worship comes from knowing you. Lord, that our heart be porous for your goodness, and that it breaks through, Lord, and be exposed, but also know that in us being exposed, we are being cared for, we are being looked after, Lord. That we can worship in brokenness. Because our worship is not dependent on a competition, Lord. It is dependent on revelation. Have you seen the Father? Have you tasted of His goodness? Have you come close? God, I pray, Lord, that we will be made free, Lord, from yokes of slavery, free from rules, Lord, that like David, Lord, we will not be constrained by laws, but be restrained by the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of resurrection, that says that dead things have become alive and that their worship is accepted by God. Amen.